This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
We put it to, we're bringing that fire. Talking real talk, Kentucky's on fire. From bourbon to ball games, we got that flow. On the We Do This Too podcast, yeah, you know. From country roads to the city lights, they bring the heat, man, every night. We do this too, let's make it clear. If you ain't listening, you ain't here.
Welcome back, y'all. It's another edition of the We Do This Too Outdoors podcast. And as always, we are presented to you in partnership with brands that we feel represent the very best of the outdoor industry. So before we get started, we'd like to give a special shout out to Moultrie Products, Uhler's Archery, Threads Custom Bowstrings, G5 Outdoors, Blackburn Apparel Company, Deer Pip Scents and Lures, Vision Clothing, Bluebird Waterfowl Company, Angry Chicken Outdoors, Alps Outdoors, and last but certainly not least, a special, special shout out to the good folks over at Briley's for leaving a legacy of shooting innovation. Whether you need new cameras to elevate the scouting experience, new arrows, or anything for your archery setups, clothing, scent, or whatever it may be, as a supporter of the podcast, you can use promo code WDTTPROMO. That's WDTTPROMO for 15% off anything on the website at Uhler'sArchery.com. Some exclusions may apply. With that being said, let's dive into another episode of the We Do This Too Outdoors podcast with your host, Mr. Courtney Williams.
What's up, guys? Welcome to another edition of the We Do This Too Outdoors podcast. I'm your host, Courtney Williams, and we got all three. One, two, three, all three of the New Jack Archers here tonight. Yeah. We got Mr. Trey, got Mr. J Cam, Equalized Outdoors, the Dreaded Archer, your favorite archers. What's up, fellas?
Ain't no much, man. How you living, C?
Blessed, black, and highly favored, brother. Can't complain, man. Yeah, man. Had a couple cancellations this week, so I'm gonna get my boys on today. We're gonna talk about a little bit of deer hunting. You know, September is about to be here before you know it. Everybody's getting their food plots out. Everybody's getting their cameras out. So we're going to talk about deer hunting in a perspective that somebody might not be able. They probably haven't been deer hunting, and they want to get out in the woods. Or this might be for the guy that's been deer hunting for a while and hadn't tagged out in about 3 or 4 years. So we're going to talk about some tactics and what you should do scouting wise and everything like that. So we'll start with J-Cam, man. How you living, bro?
Man, I'm living, like you said, man. It's all about highly favored. I'm chilling. Just enjoying, trying to stay cool out here, man. You know, Texas is doing Texas things right now. It's starting to heat it up a little bit. But other than that, man, no complaints.
What's up? What about you, Trey?
Ah, bro, I'm good, man. I'm good. Shit, just found out, man. Got, you know, another little dreaded archer on the way, so super.
Ooh, bro. Congrats, my boy.
So super excited about that, man. Today, let my mom and my grandma know. My brother, he knew the day I found out, which was Thursday, and then, of course, I told my aunt because we like this, so let her know, and then today told my mom and my granny, and which is wild because the last time I told my mom and granny that we were and I was having a kid, we had a family member pass away, and they had just got back from a funeral of a family member, and I was like, damn, I can't be making this a tradition. This is kind of bad. One family member go out and not bring one in.
Man, but congratulations, man, and condolences to the family. Well, but congrats, bro.
That's how God works, though, man. My grandma always said, you know, when God closes the door, he'll open up a window. So,
yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah. So, but shit, I got up this morning, man, and went out, bro. Bow, and dude, the place that I go shoot my bow at, bro, they got a gun range literally like right next, like I can see the guy shooting when I'm shooting my bow, and one guy was, man, I don't know what he had over there, but that joker was, man, ringing out. He was like, oh, I'm sorry, man, am I bothering you? And I'm like, no, nah, man, you good. He goes, you want to come over and shoot? I'm like, no, nah, I'm good.
This is part of, that's how it is at the one here in Dallas too, man. It's owned by the city, so like part of the shotgun trap and skeet course, like you share the same gravel path. You turn left to go down the archery range, and they right there on the right. So, like, you'll be in the middle of bow, boom. Like, it's just part of life over here, man. But I told you, I knew something was up, man. Like, you was doing all that sleeping, talking about you was napping. I told you something wasn't right, boy. I told you this about 2 weeks ago. I said, you sleeping like you got somebody
pregnant. Hey, man, I did have a dream. I did have a dream about some fish a couple weeks ago. So
I told him that because my telltale sign, I was just tired for like 2 weeks. So I was like, man, hey, you might want to take one of these. Like,
I need to think about it because I would say probably last like 2 or 3 weeks. I don't nap during the day, but I be watching TV and.
Bro, I'm telling you, I've been calling you, and this man be like, hey, what you doing? And I was asleep. I said, man, yeah, something ain't right. You don't sleep like this.
That man been taking a whole lot of naps. I see why.
Been taking a lot of naps. So now we know why. Congratulations, bro.
How many weeks is she?
Six.
Six. So you don't know what she got, what y'all having yet?
No, not yet. They said they can do some kind of like blood test and tell you what the gender is. So she want to do that on the 25th of this month. So we're going to do that. But I don't want to know until later on.
We about to have a new, give us a little new Jack Jr., baby.
I'm telling you, man, we need a
new Jack Jr.
Like, the last like 8 births in the family have all been girls. So it's like, got to have.
It's cross for you, man, but it's a blessing either way.
Yes, but
I'm saying, but for me, man, like I would love a boy, but you know what I'm saying? If I just want a healthy baby, regardless of which one, wherever it is.
Man, all right, let's get into it, man. So one of the main things when hunting any animal is scouting. Would y'all agree with me on that?
Oh yeah, for sure.
So what deer hunting, man, when should hunters start scouting for September deer hunts? Did you start scouting like the week before the season, like a lot of people do, or when should you start? Go ahead.
Well, no, the absolute best time.
The
absolute best time is already passed. Is right at the end of last season. Like,
yep.
it's the absolute best time, especially if you're somewhere we got some snow on the ground. You can easily see the trails and how they moving, where they going, or if it's wet. You can get them lanes, know where you want to set up cameras. But it's always better to get out there sooner rather than later. Because even right now, if you got like somewhere we got like a lot of grasses, you should be able to pick up a game trail relatively easy this time of year. So you get on out there now, you know, just be safe, mind the snakes and ticks and all of that type of stuff. But get on them lanes and see where they traveling, where they moving to. Pretty should be a little easier to identify bedding as well. Because you know they're moving from feed to cover, like that pretty much just don't change. It's just a matter of where they're doing it at.
Yeah, I was always taught basically once deer season ends, you know, you start scouting for the next year. You start doing your work for next season. You know, whatever deer are coming from, put you some cameras out, put you out some mock scrapes, some licking branches, all that stuff. Right down here in Kentucky, you can't feed right now. I don't know if y'all can bait where y'all at, but
we can definitely bait here in Texas.
Oh yeah,
yeah. We just can't do it right now until I think it's August 1st. We had a couple of cases of CWD in Kentucky, so Kentucky Fish and Wildlife was like, "Hey, y'all not gonna bait during the summer." I don't know how that affects anything, but that's how they are. So.
I mean, like, speaking of that, I feel like that's, I'm not going to say, I don't want to use the word disproven, right? But, like, isn't it not something going on? Like, some states are changing that, like, as we speak. I think Tennessee, like, near you might have just kind of went back on that, in Pennsylvania as well. I know in Virginia it doesn't make any sense because you can bait, like, all year until September 1st, and then you got to be off of it for 10 or 30 days before you can hunt over it somewhere like that.
Tennessee did something like that. I think Texas, I'm not sure. I think y'all can bait all year round.
Yes, all year round. We good to go.
That's what I thought, man. Yeah, here in Kentucky, man, yeah, we had a couple CWD cases, so we're not being able to bait until August 1st. So I got a couple deer feeders. I'm going to put out. Shout out to Moultrie. They got some dope deer feeders. You can check everything on your phone, make sure it's functional and working, so you ain't got to keep going back out there and messing with it. But how do you pattern deer in the early season compared to the late season? I know a lot of people have a lot of different opinions on that. So, Trey, I'll start with you.
Man, I have not figured out the art of pattern a deer at all, really. I'll get them on my game cam, and it's always hard because, like, you know, in the summertime you got, you know, your bachelor group, so you know where they're going to be at, you know what I'm saying, in the summertime somewhat. But then as soon as, you know, the fall come and the rut start, man, they break out. And the best thing that I guess I've kind of put together is just, you know, putting out game cams. You know, where I used to hunt at, I would sit out on top of the hill, and I would just glass, like, you know, weeks before the season, you know, 3-4 weeks before opening day, and just glass and just put them to bed and kind of figure out, like, all right, you know, glass late in the day, and then, you know, the next day go out glass early in the morning. So just kind of seeing how they move. And then once you, you know, do that and you kind of, you know, got a little bit of data compiled up, then you can kind of make your game plan on, you know, based on, you know, your area you're in. If they got water, are they going from water to food? Are they standing on the edges? Which for the most part, a lot of deer just travel the edges. But really, when in the summertime, early season, it's food and cover, food, cover and water, food, cover, water. So find the nearest, you know, food source that they're going to, and, you know, put your game cameras up and start getting your data.
Yeah. Yeah. I tell people this all the time, man. Early season, I feel like, I haven't matched the art or pattern of deer either. I don't think anybody has, really. But early season, it's a lot easier to pattern. And the only reason I really put food out is to just see what's out there. You know, I've never killed a deer over any type of bait. It's always during the rut, close to the rut. Them deer, you think they're going to come to your food plot, and they ain't coming. They coming somewhere else. So I tell people, you know, just take into account early season, man, 4:30 every day, 5:30 or whatever, that them does or that buck's going to come to your food plot. The later it gets in the season, especially during the rut, them does are going to start running. The bucks are going to start chasing them. You don't know where them deer is going to come from, so keep your eyes on the swivel.
Yeah, I know the I want to say like 3 years ago, I think that was like the best. That was like the last time and probably the best time I've ever patterned deer. And that was just because that year we had a terrible drought. And I mean, any water within like the property I was hunting, any water in that area was, you know, basically dried up. And they had, you know, a stock dam that was, you know, still full. And I was like, well, shoot, they got to come. There's only one tree line. So they got to either come from that tree to the stock dam. So I'm just going to sit up on that tree line and they got to come. And I was seeing a trail, you know, just back and forth. And so I just sat over that on that tree line, and about 4:30, here come a couple doe, and then boom, you know, nice little 8-point walked out, and you know, let them have it.
Yes, what's up? So, hey, Jay, man, do you use any type of like Onyx or anything like that to help you out in the woods when you're trying to scout, or is it just something to help you out basically to find your way back to where you came from?
No, I use Onyx pretty much all the time, especially going to a place like a piece of public somewhere I haven't been before. But even the places that I have been, they have a couple layers on there that can help. Because like what you guys are talking about, like the food is pretty much it for me. Is like what I focus on, right? Because you know that's what a deer gonna be. It's pretty much food, bed, food, cover. Like summertime, and like you said, as the season goes on, you're gonna have bucks show up that you ain't never caught on a camera. You have no idea they was there. They just gonna come from everywhere, right? So at that point in time, I transitioned to where the does are. Is where I'm going pretty much set up, try to catch them out that bedding for the rut. But Onyx has layers where you can look at the like the mash crop for like to see where the acorn concentrations are, because I know a lot of people, they have like food plots, but like back in Virginia, for example, like you can catch them off right there on the edge, like on my place over there. It's like got this nice row of like hardwoods, and it's just acorn city, man. And like every buck I've ever shot has been right back there in that row, like of acorns coming out of the transition from the thick cover. And then it's a ditch that runs through. It's pretty much a creek. It stays with water. And in years where you got a lot of acorns, man, it's like you can almost guarantee, like you find the acorns, like you're going to find out where the deer are going to be. And I use that layer a lot when I'm scouting to see where the concentrations of the mast producing trees are going to be.
You know, what's wild is like you could have a food plot that's got all kind of stuff. Man, it could be a smorgasbord for deer. Them acorns on the ground, they don't care about that food plot at all. They're going straight
because
to it.
Because the food plot is in the open. That's exactly what I'm saying. That's the benefit that I have, like, in that location there. Like, they never have to step out to the open and be exposed, like, in the field, because they got the acorns right back there in the timber. I mean, it's not, like, if I could pull a picture up of it, like, I posted it on my page, but it ain't 10 yards out of the woods. It's, like, the most perfect row of just, it goes from pines into... On my part of the property, we got all the oak trees and the hardwoods. Like it couldn't be a better setup. Like They never have to step out into that field, and they're more than likely to come out early while it's still daylight.
I'm talking about even like so we had what's called like a hidey hole spot. Like y'all ever hunted over any of those?
Yeah.
So even like we're in the timber, and it's like, you know, inside the timber, but you got like I would say maybe a 20 by 15, you know, little section that we, you know, raked out and tilled up and, you know, put a food plot in. So, I mean, it's in the cover, and they still like, nope, they prefer them acorns. It's like something about them acorns.
Like just, a little kill plot, right?
Yeah, a little kill plot. Yeah. I mean, and dude, I've seen deer walk around it, or they'll walk just straight through it and like not even stop to eat. Like, no, I got my mind on acorns. I know where I'm going to, and you'll walk right off, and then you'll see them off in the tree just kicking up the leaves, eating the acorns. But, you know, in South Dakota, the acorns don't fall till later in the season. So you're looking at probably like right towards middle of November going into December. That's when all the acorns start dropping. So, you know, if you early season hunting, you're pretty good. But like that one year we had that drought and the acorns just started falling early, it was a wrap.
Yeah, that's going to be some tough hunting.
It's real tough, yeah. Where I hunt, I got two spots I hunt. They're both private land. I don't do any public land hunting for deer. It kind of sucks for me at times because we don't have, we have like some timber, but we don't own that timber. So I kind of got to set up on like a field edge and pretty much lure those deer out of the woods to get onto my property because we got about 500 around me now that hunt inside the woods. So I've kind of got to switch my strategy up this year and had to switch it up a couple years ago to get those bucks out of there. And perfect segue, y'all was just talking about it because I think I'm the only one of the three of us that doesn't hunt public land for deer. So how do y'all approach hunting public versus private land where y'all at?
Shit, public.
Is there a difference?
Yeah, I mean it's a big difference. Like with public, man, the one thing that I tell cats that you know that's having trouble with public, you got to get in that joker. You got to get in deep, deep, deep. And I know it sounds cliche because you hear everybody say it, but a lot of people say it, but a lot of people don't do it. Like I've seen guys literally get out their truck, walk, you know, 10, 15 yards to the tree line and they set up. Well, you said, right, you're setting up on a walking trail. I mean, people walking in and out, you got hikers and all that stuff. You got to get in deep and nasty. And that's where you're going to find, you know, maybe not Mr. Big, but you're going to find something to put down, you know, the deeper you get in. But with public land, it's just a ton of, you know, scouting, seeing, you know, where they're coming from, where they're heading to, you know, morning and night. It's just, you got to do a whole lot more scouting on public than, you know, on, in my opinion, than you do on private land.
Yeah.
I would say,
go ahead, Jay.
My bad. I would say like it's you looking for the same things, but you got to have a plan, a backup plan, a backup to the backup plan, mm-hmm. and then one more backup plan. Like that's the thing. You can't just go in there with one mentality, with one strategy, because if you're not the first guy in there, somebody beat you to the spot. Now what? That's number one. But to go with what Trey was saying, yeah, like you got to get in there deep, but do not discount the fact that. That every podcast that you listen to, every magazine you read, everybody tells you got to go get in there deep. You got to go far. You got to go deep. Deer and most game animals react to pressure. I've set up about 120 yards from the parking lot on the edge of a soybean field and timber. So it's like an L shape right here in the corner. And I blew it. It was my fault. Like I got down out of the tree, I guess a little bit too early that day. I look up, picking up my stuff on the ground. Nice 8-pointer just standing there in the soybean field looking at me. I probably could have hit him with a rock, right? And that's right by the parking lot. Like, and I've seen more deer there in that spot on that piece of public because everybody wants to get in there and they just haul tail down the road because everybody think you got to go and get in deep. So it doesn't work every time. Yeah, I heard other people say it on their podcast too, like Remy said elk hunting. Like he's killed a lot of deer like near the elk near the trailhead because the common knowledge is if everybody's going deep, right? It's just like if you're at the airport. If everybody got TSA pre-check, if you really got pre-check, the line is going to be long, right? So you just got to be able to adapt. Like don't get it so stuck in your head. And if you keep doing something and it's not working, be flexible and work them edges as long as they got full cover and everything that they need. If it's near a trailhead or a parking lot, go ahead and hunt it, especially if you see sign there. That's the biggest key. Like read what the ground is telling you and do what the deer are telling you and adapt. Like you can't be robotic out there.
Like do you think like with so much information out there, like, you know, podcasts, magazines, websites, like doesn't it get kind of like a bunch of noise? Because you have so much information coming at you, you don't know which way to turn. So like, so how would someone that's, you know, deciding, you know, hey, you know what, this year I'm gonna go out in the woods, how do they decide to filter through all the shit and, you know, make a solid game plan,
man? For like, real,
you have all the knowledge that you have. Oh, go ahead. See,
what I was gonna say is, like, I know when I first started deer hunting, because my dad didn't deer hunt, so I had to teach myself pretty much. I was reading magazines. I was getting on YouTube. podcast really wasn't a thing yet. So I was pretty much on YouTube hitting up all the OGs. And every person that I went to had a different outlook on what to do. I'd go to one person. He's like, well, you need to get, you know, you need to get a, you know, close to a bedding area. One said you need to get close to a food source. One says you need to get close to water. So once you get out there, you got all this stuff in your mind, especially nowadays, man, with a new hunter, there's so many podcasts and there's so much information out there. I feel like new hunters, they overthink everything.
Shit. Even seasoned hunters overthink it.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard. It's hard not to, really. I mean, because you've got one person telling you to do one thing. He's killed 200-inch deer. You got another person telling you another thing on another podcast or YouTube. He's killed 200-inch deer. You know, another person's killed 200-inch deer, and they're telling you that you've got to be 25, 30 foot up in a tree stand to kill a deer. Next person's telling you, oh, you don't got to kill a deer like that. All you got to do is get you a blind and get close to a field edge. Next person said, well, you don't even need a blind. You just need to go set up in a tree somewhere where you got some cover. All them things for a new hunter, it's like, what do I do? How do I approach this? Man, like, it's just trial and error. Like, you just got to go out and find what works for you.
Yep,
exactly. That's it. It's the experience piece. Like, you can have all the knowledge, take the mental notes, note what worked for you, what doesn't work in certain situations. It ain't nothing. It's nothing wrong with having multiple tools in the toolbox, right? But like, you're married, see, Trey, you in a relationship, engaged, right? Like, it's just like dating, right? Like, there's more than one way to approach a woman. One way might work for one person, but you got to get out there and you got to try it and see what works for you. It's literally the same. And when all else fails, I just tell people, like, I'm a huge fan of the KISS principle. Keep it simple, stupid, because like, just get back to the basics and the fundamentals and just get out there and hunt. Like, find the animals, try and make a move, make the mistakes and learn from them. And then it'll all start to make sense. Like, but like, if people are too, you know, like microwave, like these days, like, it's not going to be instant success. This is not realistic. That's not the way it works.
No, I know. I would say like the first year that I actually had to start hunting on public land, the first thing I was like, I got to have multiple spots. So I had, you know, a spot south of town, a spot east of town, spot, you know, 45 minutes outside of town, another spot that was like 2 hours away. I had all these game cameras set up, all these stands set up. And then, you know, Friday after work, I'm like, all right, I'm going to go hunt this stand. So I'm checking the weather. Oh, the wind ain't good at this one. Okay, the wind ain't good here. And by the time I decided where I was going to go hunt, shit, it's like 5:30. The spot is an hour away. By the time I get there, it's dark. Okay, cool. I'm going to go Saturday morning. We'll get up Saturday early Saturday morning. I'm looking at, you know, all the different spots I got. Okay, this one's good, but dang, it's 3 hours away. So, shit, if I get out there, by the time I get out there, the sun going to be up. It's like you start just overthinking it instead of just picking a spot and going and sitting. And then, you know, you like, then you go pick somewhere and then you hear, oh, dang, somebody killed a 180-inch deer, you know, 15 yards from the stand, you know, could have went and sat in. So then the next day, what you go do, you go sit in that stand thinking you're going to see the same type of deer, to the point where eventually there were some weekends where I just didn't hunt. I went like 3-4 weekends straight where I just didn't hunt because I didn't feel like either spot was good enough. In reality, shit, you can't kill him from the couch. So I should have just picked the spot and went. Started overthinking it.
Yeah, I think that's what a lot of people do, man. Like, they sit all week long, say they get to hunt Saturday and Sunday, maybe a Monday, you know, all week long. They're sitting there listening to podcasts in their truck, podcasts and at their desk, at work, whatever. And every podcast is telling them something different. So by the time Friday night gets there, they're trying to make a game plan, but they're overthinking everything. Well, should I go sit here? Should I go sit here? Should I go sit here? And then they'll look on their weather app, and some of the weather apps will tell you, like, prime time to go in the woods.
Yep.
I don't ever look at them.
Yeah. No, don't look at that.
Don't look at that stuff because they don't know. I mean, I've seen deer come out in 90-degree weather. I've seen deer come out in negative 10-degree weather, and you never know where they're going to come from. I've killed more deer midday you know, people say, you know, 12, 1 o'clock, that's when everybody goes and gets lunch or whatever, man. Especially during the rut, you better sit there all day. As soon as you get down, that deer might come through. So
I've told this story, I don't know how many times now, like what happened to me on Veterans Day a few years back. That big old 8-point I was after, man. I had some commitments for Veterans Day for work, so I had no choice but to get out of the stand. It's like 10:27. Man, when I pulled that SD card, like 11:07, that joker was 8 yards, walked down the path right under my tree stand, not 20 minutes after I got out of the woods. Like, if I didn't have that commitment for work that day, I would have been in the tree stand all day. And I'm not saying I would have made the shot, because that's probably one of the biggest deer I ever seen on the hoof. Like, so who knows how that would have turned out at that point, but you got to be up there like all day, especially because you just never know. But there are some general rules of thumb. Like when it's hot outside, you're probably not going to expect too much movement. But again, you can't never really rule it out. And like Trey mm-hmm. just said, you can't kill them at the house. So,
no, not at all. I know the first time my brother came up to South Dakota to hunt, it kind of sucked because opening day, like me and my dad, my dad put down a really nice one. So my brother was like sitting in this one spot that I on my game camera, there's not a time where I don't pull the card and I don't see two or three nice bucks just coming through. It's set up between the creek, and then across the creek is a cornfield. So they come out the cornfield and they walk down, they drink in that creek, and then they come up and they walk right in front of the blind. Well, he sat there all morning, opening day, didn't see one deer. So he thought we was going to lunch. I'm like, nah, man, we going to do no lunch. Like, it's rut. It's prime rut. Like, they could pop up anytime. So like 12:30, he was like, man, I'm hungry. We need to leave. Like, now let's go get something to eat. So I'm like, all right, well, we ain't seen nothing. Let's go get lunch. We get to the truck and wait for him, and he ain't coming up the woods. He ain't answering his phone. I'm like, man, what this cat done? So I just start walking over there, like, check on him, see what's going on. When I get over there, this cat is stretched out on the ground because when he got out of his blind, as soon as he got out, a deer came up over the hill. So he just laid flat, and he was trying to get his rifle, but he left his rifle inside the damn blind. And when I walked over the hill behind him, the deer saw me, spooked, and took off. And he was like, oh, man, I had an opportunity. I'm like, bro, you didn't even got your gun. Like, think about it. Had you just stayed in that blind like I told you to, you would have had a chip shot. So, like, you can't, like, get in a rut. Man, you better be ready for some long sits. It might get boring, but we all know it can happen at a drop of a dime. I'm talking, like, no deer, and you put your head down, look at your phone, and look up, and boom, you got three right in front of you.
And I venture to say, if you bored hunting the runt, you need to find a new spot, buddy.
Yeah.
That's one time you should not be bored.
Yeah. I was in that, you know, predicament a couple of years. Well, it's probably about 4 years ago now, but I got permission from the landowner to hunt, got everything down on paper just in case, you know, something happened, had him sign a little contract or whatever. And had everything perfect. I had patterned this deer. I was like, I know what time he's coming out. I know where he's going to be, what vicinity he's going to be in. Well, the landowner, for some reason, the night before, decided that he was going to bush hog. But he ended up bush hogging everything in front of where my blind was. And the grass was probably like knee high. So the deer had a little bit of cover when they were crossing to go to the other side of this field. So I was like, man, I'm going to hunt the other side, try to catch them coming towards that field. Terrible decision. I hadn't seen nothing all day long. It was about noon. I was getting hungry. I was out of water. So get my backpack up, get my rifle. I unloaded my rifle. I should have kept my rifle loaded. As soon as I get up across the creek, where that little spot where he had just bush hogged, the deer that I was after, it was a pretty decent age. I say he's probably 130s, 140s, standing right in the middle of that field. Sees me, takes off. I was like, and my blind was literally 30 yards from where that buck was. And I'm like, why did I just hunt here? Just because he bush hogged. Them deer are still, they're going to do deer thing. They do this all the time. Just because they see that cut, it's the rut. They ain't caring about that. They noses to the ground. They ain't caring about none of that.
And they probably used to it, because I know the farm I used to hunt on, like, and I didn't have a say in the matter, but the farmers, you know, during the rut is when they was out harvesting corn.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was nothing for me to be, you know, sitting in a tree stand and then here come a combine and they knocking corn down. And I'm like, man, I'm not going to see nothing. You know what I'm saying? And then I started realizing like the deer wasn't bothered by the combine. They weren't bothered by the truck because they're used to seeing it all the time. They're used to smelling or hearing the tractor crank up. They're used to smelling the gas out there. It don't bother them. You know what I'm saying?
It don't bother them as much as you think, man.
Yeah, it don't bother them. And so I actually got lucky one year because they were combining this big cornfield where a bunch of deer were holding up in the corn. And, man, I'm talking about three does shot out. And this was like 2019. And here come, you know, this nice 12. And he right there. he comes, you know, jumped the fence and walked down the creek. And I thought he was gone. Because once they go down the hill and get into that creek, that's normally like their little highway because it keeps them covered up. It's so deep. And, man, he popped right up in front of me. And I thought he knows I'm here. And he's just, you know, just roaming, trying to sniff for those doe. And, man, he gave me an opportunity, and I let that arrow fly. And, man, I was done. Like, I was like, man, because I was getting ready to get up. I'm like, man, they're not going to be over here.
Yeah.
But Courtney, you said something about, you know, talking to a landowner, and that's something that I try to tell young hunters or, you know, guys getting in. If you want to go knock on doors and ask a hunter, you know, ask a landowner to hunt their property, the time ain't the day before you want to go hunt, or it's not, you know, a week before the season start. You want to go, you know, four or five months down the road, and you know, and don't go in your hunting clothes. Like, I know a lot of guys, they dress up and go knocking on the door. Man, go in, you know, some nice pants, nice button up shirt. You know what I'm saying? Knock on the door. Hey, sir, my name is such and such. I was, you know, driving down the road, saw you got some nice deer. You know, do you allow anybody to hunt on your property? And, you know, or actually don't even bring hunting up. Start just a conversation and then, you know, slowly, you know, work it in. And ask, you know, if it's a farmer, ask, I mean, you got some work you need done. You need some fence built. You need help baling some hay, feeding, do something. Mm-hmm. And you'll be surprised. A lot of times, if you willing to put in some sweat equity, I mean, they'll let you hunt that property and they won't let nobody else hunt it either. If you're going out there doing some work for them.
Yeah, you're right. And nowadays, man, I tell everybody too,
don't get your hopes up. You better come with some money. These days, hunting is quickly turning into pay to play.
So you get lucky and you find that landowner, man, that might have, you know, might have just lost.
You got to find one for sure, but you got to put the work in. Like, you ain't just going to stumble in the first door you knock. You got to be prepared to hear a lot more no's than you ever hear yeses.
Oh, yeah, you're going to hear a whole lot of no's.
Yeah. Hey, y'all trying to have me add something to the state or to the podcast?
You see those screenshots I put up there? So you see that first one?
Yeah.
So that's the first one. When I was telling you about that story where Trey was talking about going deep, if you look at the top corner, that's the main road, and where that first dot is on the top right of the, you see the line? It's 153 yards. I seen two of the biggest bucks I ever seen in my life. Like I had my, like I said, I had my set up right there. Now, if you go to the third one or the next one down, now this is the same setup. And those red dots are the acorn producing trees that I was telling you about. That's what that layer turned on. So then you go to the last one, you pop that up. So that's the whole area, the piece of that I hunt. And if I was to turn that layer on, I had it zoomed out. Every piece of game or point of interest all lines up with the oak producing trees. Like, and it's been successful for me, like turkey, deer, what have it. And that's one of my live, that's from my own personal Onyx right there. So like that strategy with the oak trees, like, I'm not going to say it works everywhere, But in that particular area of the country that I'm hunting, it's a producer on public or private or wherever or what have you.
Yeah. So anybody that's watching this on YouTube live or whatever, if you see Jay's Onyx, how many pins and stuff he's got posted, mine looks nothing like his. Literally,
that's, that's just one layer for that yeah. particular place. I have a different one for different pieces.
There's a lot of different ways to use Onyx. Literally, the only thing I use Onyx for is to see what landowner, because you can see like the land and see what landowner owns what. And that's when I'll start making phone calls, especially during duck season. If I see a pond or something back here I think it's going to hold ducks, see the landowner, I'll either call him or go to him. And like Trey said, I won't have my hunting clothes on. Go ask him. And, you know, nine times out of ten, he's going to say no, but. I mean, you gotta keep do your due diligence and go ask him at least. But
oh yeah,
there's a lot of features for Onyx, and this is what a lot of people's looks like. So
that's just one of 23 folders that I have that are just like that for right now.
Yeah, super dope though. Do you use Onyx, Trey, or do you use something else?
I use Onyx. I use HuntStand because
I've looked at it too long.
Got a lifetime of. But I jump back and forth between Onyx and HuntStand.
I got you. HuntStand, I think, is the one that I first started using at first, and then it was telling me like where my blind was sitting, like which way my wind was blowing, like my scent was going. So that kind of helped me out to figure out, okay, I need to hunt this blind on a north wind, I need to hunt this blind on the south wind, this blind on a, you know, northeast wind or whatever to make sure my scent's not blowing into the woods.
If you look at the one of the small screenshots, it's on there in the Onyx too. That's what that red zero and E is with the direction. It's doing the same thing. I have it set up for optimal winds. So like if right. I was going to hunt there today, I wouldn't, because the scent is blowing directly to where you see I have the two red buck pins at. And then if you go a little bit further to the northwest there in that area, there's another one that I've seen around there. So I wouldn't hunt that on that wind today. I need a good wind coming out of the north would be more ideal, or preferably a wind from the west.
And for your new hunters out there, if you're listening to this, you know, if you're hunting, say you're hunting a blind kind of on the edge of a field, and you're hunting right on the edge of a field, right there where the timber is, you don't want your scent blowing into the timber. You want the wind hitting you in the face, simply because if that buck, doe, whatever, that you're after, he smells you.
Game over.
And I can't tell you how many species that goes for. Like, hunt the wind. Make sure the wind is right. When I first got into coyote hunting, man, there's 1,000 coyotes on my mom's farm. I thought it was going to be just as easy as going in there, setting my call out, calling coyotes in. Nah. Them coyotes are going to come downwind. They smell you, they gone. Deer's the same way. So make sure your wind is right. If you're a first time, even if you're not, like, hunt the wind. Make sure your scent is not blowing in the direction that you think them deer are coming out of. I cannot stress that enough.
And to go along with what C is saying, to help minimize your scent, especially if you're new and you don't know any better, get you a good pair of rubber boots when you're out there setting your cameras, or you checking memory cards, especially the closer you get to the season. You want to help minimize that scent. Get you a good pair of rubber boots when you're out there. That'll help. It's not perfect. You still want to be mindful of the wind and your scent control, but you got a much better chance at it with a good pair of rubber boots on.
And this is maybe just a me thing. Guys might not agree, but I use rubber gloves when I'm changing out my game cameras, when I'm changing out my SD cards, because I'm just afraid that, like, my hands, I'm gonna leave some scent on that game camera, and any scent they put that in that memory bank. Mm-hmm. And like last time I smelled this, I saw this cat walking through the woods, this guy walking through the woods. So, sound like him. I'm out. So
yeah, actually, since they stole my cameras, I don't have any more to actually use memory cards anymore. So, but I'll definitely keep that in mind when I go out there and put some cell cams out.
Yeah, mostly everybody now is using cell cams. So basically, you go out there one time, you know, those cell cameras, depending on what kind of batteries you got or those power packs that they got out now, you ain't gotta go back in there for a while. And that helps you out because you're not leaving scent everywhere.
Yeah.
But that is smart to portray, though, to use rubber gloves, because there's a lot of scent in your hand that you don't think would be. And plus, like, you might have just pumped gas or something before you came out there. You got gas on your hands. You might have, you know, bleach or something, just got done washing dishes, Dawn or something. Like, they remember all that.
You know what's crazy, man? Like, my uncles he don't do hardly none of that stuff. I done watched this joker smoke a cigarette, have a deer walk right in front of his stand. I'm like, yo, come on, B. And then here I am, like, I'm super OD about it. Like, when the season come, I wash them with the scent-free stuff, put them in a container, right? It go in the truck. Like, I wake up and, like, whatever. Don't matter if it's cold outside. I ain't going out there with nothing but a wife beater on and some shorts. I change in the truck, like, out once I get to the parking spot outside. Like,
I don't want to go like in the house,
none of that.
I got an uncle like that, too, man. My uncle, he used to smoke. He don't smoke no more, but he used to smoke his King Edward cigars. And I would be literally on the other side of him of the fence. So we had blinds on each side of the fence. He'd be hunting one field. I'd be hunting the other field, and I could literally smell them cigars every time he'd light one up. And every year he'd kill one of the biggest deer on our property just sitting there smoking a King Edward cigar. Didn't have no, I mean, he had a little blind, like they had, like, made up like one of them turkey blinds that you just set up in front of you, and he put a chair back there. And that man be sitting there just smoking King Edward cigars and see 1,000 deer. So
doing it on the ground is crazy.
Yeah,
at least my uncle was in the tree stand. Golly.
Yeah, my uncle got like a makeshift blinds now that he makes himself. I call them slave shacks. That's what they literally look like. But that man's a hunter, you know. But the older he gets, the warmer he wants to get. So he'll make them little, and he'll put a buddy heater or something in there with him.
Or my buddy, yeah. But, hey, little buddy, be hey, them joke with the lightsaber, man.
come in handy, man. But let's talk about gear for your first time deer hunters or even your seasoned deer hunters. Does your gear? I know mine switches up from early season to late season. I'll basically in early season I'll usually have on something bottomland. No, but I'll usually just have my bow, some water, whatever. Usually when the rut comes, I've got some type of scent with me. I've got a buck grunt, I've got a doe bleat, and I've got rattling antlers. How does y'all setup change from early season to late season?
I mean, you pretty much just nailed it for me.
Yeah,
that's pretty much it, man. It's just more layers. Pretty much the it depends on where I am, like what type of camo I'm in, but other than that, it pretty much stay the same.
Yeah, for me, it's pretty much layers, but I tend to take my bag out, and in my bag got the same thing in it from early season to, you know, late season. Like, I always have my rattle antlers, because if I take it out of my bag, I'm gonna end up losing or leaving it at home or not, or losing the wood. So I just keep everything in my bag, and when I have time for me to go, just take it out the tote and go.
It's always in the truck in the case that I spoke about earlier, in case I need it, so I can adapt. But like, I won't take it out unless I'm planning on using that strategy for the day.
Yep. No, I take everything because I like sometimes I just be BSing in the woods. I'm like, I wonder if I rattle late season or like early season, can I bring a deer in? And I'll just not like crashing them, but just like a little, just tinkering a little bit, just like a little sparring. And dude, I've, you know, nothing big, but like, you know, little fork horn come up running, looking like, you know, who out here having fun? Who out here playing around? And it's like, bro, I thought you was somebody bigger, man. You just gonna get an arrow in you, man.
I carry one of these too. And I'm gonna have to get y'all one. It's called Mac Daddy. Dear Pimp Sense and Lures, this dude named Wes Brewer that lives literally right down the road from me, he owns a deer farm. And this thing here is like a diffuser. So you unscrew the bottom. You can put doe estrus. You can put buck pee. You can put any kind of scent that you want to in there. And it goes in the bottom. And you screw it on like a diffuser and turn it on. If you got it set on low, you get a 4-second burst every 17 minutes, medium 5-second burst every 12 minutes, and on high 6-second burst every 10 minutes. It's all fresh. And I can't tell you how many deer you can get on his website and see like some of the deer that have been harvested over this thing, dude. It's an absolute game changer.
Is it synthetic or natural?
It's natural. He owns a deer farm. So all, everything that he bottles up during the rut and everything, like it's all pure. There's no
The reason I asked, because like in Virginia, like I wouldn't be able to use that because they outlawed natural stuff. Like even a Tink 69 and stuff in Walmart, it all says synthetic on the bottle. We're not allowed to use it anymore. And I guess you can take a guess why. The famous three-letter word, CWD, is what they blame it on, but it's banned. I'm not too sure what the status of that is in Texas, but if it's allowed, I'd definitely like to take a shot.
Yeah, I'm gonna get y'all some, man, because I can tell you, man, I didn't get to use it last year, but a lot of my buddies used it, and during the rut, like you said, you know them deer, when the rut comes, they heads ain't popping up. They nose is to the ground. And you put one of them things on the ground, and that puff of air, and that scent comes in there, they're coming in there. My buddy killed, I think, I think he was like in the 150, 160 class, within like 15 minutes of having this thing out. Like, sitting there talking to his daughter, and his daughter just happened to look up, and there it was. And I mean, there's a lot of good stories on his. It's called Mac Daddy from Deer Pimp Sense and Lure. So y'all make sure y'all go check him out. He's got plenty of stuff on the websites, from like cover scents to stuff like that you would need. And going back to what Jay said, like my rubber boots, if I'm going out to scout or something, I will spray some type of cover scent on my boots and on me, just depending on what I've got at the time, just to minimize what scent that I'm leaving in the woods. But going back to gear, man, you know, depending on where you're at, what state you're in, some people can use rifles, some people can't. You know, just make sure you check your regulations and your laws. You can either use, you know, some I think allow straight wall cartridges like Indiana, which is like your 30-30, your 350 Legends, stuff like
that. Ohio's on that too, right?
Yeah. And some won't allow that, so they just allow shotguns. So make sure you've got a shotgun that can shoot slugs and stuff like that. Just make sure you got the right gear out there. If you're a guy that's got, you know, bad shoulders or whatever, you know, you get that thing from your doctor where you can use a crossbow. We ain't gonna get into that much, but as archers, 9 times out of 10, I'm gonna have my bow out there.
Yep.
I like getting close and personal. I used to be a big rifle guy, but the older I get, man, and I like to take stuff with my bow. Get them as close as you can. You know, practice up for that kill shot. Make sure you kill the deer fast as possible with the best shot possible, because we owe it to the deer to let him down as easy as possible. So what's y'all's thoughts on I know the answer to both of y'all, rifle versus bow.
I mean, rifle versus bow, I don't feel no way about it, because I mean I'll take the rifle out, you know, during rifle season, because it's just hard to archery hunt during rifle season unless you got you know private land. But if you hunt in public during rifle season, you can hang it up hunting bow. Like it's especially in South Dakota, it's a wrap. Once the Orange Vest Army come out there, if anybody around you rifle hunting, anything moving, getting smoked. So you might as well, you know, have your boomstick too, you know, but I don't, you know, I don't have no bad opinions about it.
And for me, man, the only time I really use most of the time it's not even a rifle, because my county in Virginia is not allowed, but here in Texas, rifle is pretty much fair game everywhere. But the places that I hunt, usually the bow is my go-to. The only other time I really put it away is when, if I'm hunting and back in Virginia, they running them dogs around, like with them drives, anything you see is going to be running on a pretty much the dead sprint. So it's pointless. You better have a shotgun and a slug in that situation. But going back to what you said about the regs, when you knew, I just want to make sure y'all know, most places, the regs aren't statewide. Like, it's county specific. So don't think just because one thing is fair game in one place, you need to check it and know it for every single place that you're going to be hunting at. So you don't want to accidentally violate and run into some trouble. But yeah, for me, you already know the answer. It's bow till I can't. So
yeah, I heard that. And it depends for real. Where I'm hunting, like, I prefer a bow, but if I'm hunting the property I've got that's about an hour and a half away from me, I'm gonna have my bow with me in the truck. But if it's rut, I'm gonna use that rifle down there, just because it's a lot more open. It's a little bit longer shots. But the farm that I hunt on, I'm definitely gonna have my bow every time. I know just pretty much where I need to set up, how far I need to shoot, which is relative to some people. I won't shoot past 40 yards. Some people won't shoot past 60. Some people will shoot 100. Like, it's just whatever you're comfortable with and you know you can make a good shot, have at it. But yeah, I know Jay's got to get out of here pretty soon, so I'm going to start with you, Trey. If a brand new hunter asks you how to best use the month of September to prepare for the season, what's your top piece of advice you'd give them?
What, archery season?
Archery season.
Ooh, the best piece to prepare. For a brand new archer, pick a spot and learn as much you can about that spot and pretty much stick to it. Like, as a new archer, a new hunter, man, hopping around from spot to spot to spot. I mean, unless you got the means to, like, you know these areas already. But if you new to the game, never hunted, and you go into a piece of public land, pick that spot, learn as much you can about it, and hunt it till the wheels fall off.
Facts. About you, Jay?
Month of September, hopefully you have somewhere that you want to focus on. I would say get you some observation sits in. And what I mean by that, take your bow, because bow season starts like September 1st in Texas here. In Virginia, it starts early. Take your bow with you, but just get out in the woods, try and be around the animals, see what they're doing. See if you can get a feel for them. If you get an opportunity, great. But if not, just keep that in the memory bank for a little bit later on, like when the action start to heat up, so you can have a little bit of knowledge of where you're hunting and you're just getting that experience of being out there. That's the most important thing. If the wind is good, make sure you get out there and have a sit, and you can be ready if you get a chance. But that would be my most important thing. Get you some early intel in that way.
Man, I had a homeboy in Ohio. I got a homeboy in Ohio, and him and his wife had just bought this house, and the house probably sit on like 80 acres, maybe 100 acres. But they move in, and in the middle of moving in, he's like, you know what, man, I'm tired, but I want to go out and just do an observation sit. I ain't trying to, you know, put nothing down. I just want to go and see what's on our property. You know what I'm saying? Goes out. 45 minutes in, ends up putting down a double drop time. I think ended up scoring like 204 or something like that.
Wow.
And he ended up seeing it during the observation sit, which he's like, normally don't take his bow. He normally don't take his bow at all and put that bad boy down. I should have sent you.
And that's why if the season's open, you take your weapon, which your weapon of choice, with you at all times.
Oh yeah, y'all can't see it. I'll send it to y'all. But yeah, it was just like I said, season's open. Man, I'm just gonna slide out and see see what's out there and end up putting it down. And I was like, yeah, I always have you both. But season's in it, always take that bad boy out because you never know what you're going to see.
Never know what you're going to see. Yeah. But yeah, man, I know Jay's got to get off here. So I appreciate y'all hopping on with me tonight, man. So, but y'all check us out, New Jack Archers. We go live on Instagram about every Monday. We'll be going live Monday. What's that date, fellas? The 10th, the 9th?
June 9th. Monday this week is the 9th.
Yeah,
June 9th. So make sure y'all check us out. We've got a lot of topics to go over, especially for the new archers, for the old school archers. We just like talking archery. We're three brothers that love bows, love bow hunting. So y'all make sure to check us out. Make sure you check out Equalized Outdoor, my boy Jay Cam. Make sure you check out my homie, the Dreaded Archer podcast on Carbon TV. And he also has a podcast with his brother, RTL, Retalk and Listen podcast, where they discuss sports, pretty much everything. They talk about everything on there. Him and his brother, they be having me dying laughing. They finally sent me, well, Trey did. I got the receipts. He finally sent me my shirts. They should be in the mail. Nick, I'm still waiting on the one-on-one the other night. So you on the clock.
And I'm probably going to end up having to send that because his ass is leaving for Florida in the morning.
Yeah, so, but big congrats to Trey, man, on another little Dreaded Archer coming soon, man. Proud of you, bro. Proud of you, Jay. Y'all keep grinding. Y'all keep knowing what you're doing. You know, hopefully this new Jack will take off, man. And y'all got any final thoughts?
No, man, just if you a new hunter out there, man, just like I said, pick up that bow, get that tag, pick up that bow, and hey, go have fun, man. Don't overthink it.
That's it. Keep it simple, man. That's all I got, man. Stay safe, more importantly than anything.
Stay safe. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Big game, small game, all game. We do this too. Out.
Before the rooster, put on my camo, load up my bow and my rifle and stock the ammo. I'm a bullet with the bullet, but I'm lethal with the arrow. Always down for the hunt, dub turkey and big buck. Hit the woods and get fitted up. Mossy, y'all fall across my pit, don't be surprised. We do this too.
I'll be up before the sun with my 30 at 6. Hard body on, I ain't worried about the kick. Yeah, we do this too. 100 boys.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.